Things in October. The Princess Bride back there, her birthday is on the 14th, and our 54th anniversary is on the 18th. So hopefully that'll work out good, and we'll be away while she's celebrating her birthday, and she'll get to celebrate her birthday with the grandkids, so it doesn't get any better than that. Tonight I want us to look at Psalm 46. And you know what? I just remembered, I was going to tell you, the men's retreat this year is going to be a week early at Mountaintop. It'll be the first weekend, you know, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday of November. So if any of you can go to that, that'll be good. And also, if any of you would like to go to the National Workers' Conference next week at Shannon Hills, that would really be good. It'll start Tuesday morning and go through Thursday. And if you can't make it during the daytime, some of you have to work. But if you can come at night, you'll really enjoy it. So praise the Lord for what he's doing, and it's going to be quite a reunion up there. And I don't think we have any more Emmaus graduates here, but they're going to have an Emmaus reunion at this set of meetings. Well, tonight I want us to look at Psalm 46. This has been a great blessing to me. And, you know, it's amazing. As you get older, you become a Psalms individual because you can read through the Psalms, and it's amazing how these Psalms will illustrate some precious truth that you need to respond to. And by the way, does anybody need an outline? If you do, I think there's a few extra right in here that we can get you. But Psalm 46, and you know, I used to say Psalm 23 was my favorite, and it still is, but now I've probably got 20 or 30 favorites. And this is because the beginning and ending of this psalm gives us a precious truth about what we need to do and what God is for each and every one of us. And you know what? Let's read it real quick, and then I've got lots of comments I want to make about it. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. That means meditate on it. Think about it. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, something else to think about and meditate on. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is our refuge and our strength. And you know what? You look at the first portion of this great psalm, and it talks about God being our refuge and our strength and our very present help in time of trouble. And then you see a list of things here that even if these things happen in life, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. Because God is my refuge. And you know, some of these things that's listed here in these middle verses tells us about, I think some of them are found in Revelation. But the good news is the Lord of hosts is with us. And you know, isn't it amazing how relaxing it is who you're getting to walk with? The shepherd is coming with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And we can look at many opportunities that tells us about that. But you know, I think it's interesting when you look at this psalm here, three times our refuge is mentioned. Three times Selah is mentioned. Meditate on it. Think about this. And you know, that's one of the greatest things we can do, isn't it? Is to meditate on the Word of God. And I think one of the best ways we can meditate on it is not only to read it, but to memorize it. And you'll find out that when you get to be 77, you got to memorize it because you can't remember it. And half the times you can't remember where the passage is at. But the good news is we need to meditate on it, don't we? And then two times, the Lord of hosts is with us. And we'll see it in many passages here I want us to look at that it's who is with us that is so important. You know, it's amazing when we can see little kids walking with their dad and they don't mind holding his hand and they want to be with him and do whatever, wherever he takes them, they want to go with him, right? And that's the way we should be as adults with God. You know, where he leads me, I want to follow and I want to go. You know, it's a great hymn we sang tonight, but it's also great to know that there's four great hymns that was written as a result of this psalm. A mighty fortress is our God. We read that about the place we can go to, right? Be still, my soul. The Lord is on my side. Be still and know, like a river glorious. Those are some precious hymns, isn't it? I wish we had time to sing all of them, but we don't. But, you know, I think this psalm here is really a benefit to us when we go through some difficult times in life. I don't know if you've ever had problems in life. You know, I can remember some health problems in our family. I can remember when Karen had that cervical dystonia. And she kept shaking her head no all the time. And they were able to give her some shots in her neck, and it stopped her from saying no, and now she says yes. But it wasn't funny when she was going through that, okay? And then, you know, you've had problems in many different areas. How many of you older folks, your 401k turned into a 104k? Have you ever had that one? I heard some people laughing, and it's true, isn't it? But, you know, how many times have you been distressed about the future? Where am I headed? Where am I going to be at in another year? I know it's nice to be able to know that we've got a young couple here that's making some really good plans for next summer. Okay? But, you know, when things get so that we can't understand them, that's when we need a refuge, isn't it? You know, I heard that in my King James, it says that this particular psalm was written for a group of soprano girls to sing at the temple. And it's amazing. Could you imagine what it would be like being in Jerusalem? And, you know, those of you who have been there before, you know, many of the walls have been torn down. But wouldn't it be great to be in a situation where you were inside those big walls and hearing these great songs sang every night and all during the day? I mean, that was a really BBN radio station back in those days that played all of these good old songs. But, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. And we need, when situations go bad, we need a refuge and we need strength. You know, I can remember in 2014 when Lauren came back from Rwanda. She spent several months over there, and then she went to north of Israel and spent a couple of months there, and then went to Peru. When she came home from Peru, she could hardly make it. She was so exhausted, and we didn't know what it was. And so after a couple of days, we took her to the hospital, and her blood sugar was nearly 1,000. And usually people die when it's 500. Okay? And she went into a coma and stayed, you know, she didn't know who we was for a couple of days. And she was like that for 3 or 4 days. And I can't tell you the stress that I was under knowing that my little baby girl was going through type 1 diabetes. Something attacked her pancreas, and she ended up with type 1 diabetes at 38 years old. There are times we need a refuge, don't we? I know I was so disturbed by what was going on, and it was affecting me, so about a month later, I had to go to the emergency room because my heart was beating fast. And I was seeing how the Lord allowed Lauren to go through this major problem with her blood sugar. But you know what? She's just as sweet as she ever was. And she'll never be any sweeter than she is now. But you know, we need a refuge, don't we? Because when we are in a refuge, we're in a place where we're protected and we know we're safe. You know, we don't have these problems, do we? And where's the best place to go to for a refuge? It's go to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know, I remember reading a story about a man back in the early 40s. All of the problems going on in Europe, and Hitler was trying to take over the world over there. And this guy saw what was happening in the United States, and all of the money was going to building all this equipment to be sent over there for the war. And he said, I want to get away from here. I don't want to live in the United States. I want to go somewhere. I want to find a remote island somewhere that I can go to, and I can be safe and secure there, and I don't have to worry about all of these wars. Well, he moved to Honolulu, Hawaii. Guess what happened a year later? Japan bombed his refuge. The place that he thought he was safe, it was bombed. And he lost everything. You know, isn't it amazing the number of stories that we read in the Scripture that we see that happen to people? And people need a refuge, right? You can remember probably at the year 2000, if any of you can remember back that far, what was the encouraging thing for you to do? To stockpile some food and stuff in your house, right? I can remember back in the early 60s when Russia was trying to take over Cuba. You know, people were scared that they were going to drop a nuclear bomb on Cuba. I see some heads shaking. Two or three of you remember that event. But I was in school at Ruffin during that time period, and I can remember several parents of the young people I was in school with, they started building shelters in their home down up under the home and filling it up with food in case a nuclear bomb was dropped and all of the, you know, things that happened down there came up here. They were looking for a refuge, right? But there's only one really good refuge. There's only one great one, and that's God, isn't it? I've got some verses here that kind of illustrates this right here, and I want to look at some of these verses, and hopefully you can see them okay. I can no longer buy yellow paper. They're no longer produced. And guess who caused that? COVID, right? But it's amazing here. Look at Hebrews 6, and it talks about a promise that we have. And we have an anchor for our soul. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 6:17, it says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." A refuge, a hope. Listen to what else it says. Verse 19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Wherefore the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." We have a God who cannot lie. Okay? He can't. You can trust anything He says, right? Now, with us humans, you have to be wise to interpret what you're hearing, right? Because you don't know whether what you're hearing is the truth or a half-truth, maybe a fourth of a truth. But God can't lie, can He? And here the illustration is, God says, "I'm a strong consolation, and when you come to Me for a refuge, I'm going to be an anchor for your soul." It doesn't get any better than that, right? An anchor. And you know, it's amazing when ships pull into port, if they don't have a place, a dock to pull up to, what do? And even if they do dock somewhere, they'll drop an anchor too, just in case a storm comes in. But you know what? I can remember when I was on the Forrestal over in the Mediterranean Sea, our squadron, we had about 250 guys in it. And we would have our meetings up in the bow of the ship, right under the flight deck. And it would, of course, it wouldn't be flight quarters or anything going on. But the chains up there were this big. I mean, it was incredible, the chains, and that big around. Because the anchor was so whole, so large and so heavy to wind that thing up. I mean, it was a miracle to be able to get that thing out of the bottom of the sea. Not the bottom, but at the bottom where we were at. But, you know, it's amazing. You think about those chains were nothing compared to the size of the anchor. Who's a real anchor for our soul? Do we have to worry about the storms of life? You know, it's amazing to me. The worst thing that could happen to us could be the best thing, isn't it? It's amazing what we've got as an anchor for our soul. And that is the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in the Trinity. That's the anchor we have for our soul. And how many times have you seen when you're anchored good in God, you know, the problems that come and go, they don't seem to be that significant, do they? I could give you some illustrations, but we won't spend time there. But listen to another one here. We've got a high priest. Those struggles that we need a refuge for, who do we need to take them to? You know, it's amazing. The other day, I went down to Walmart, and as I was driving down Freeway Drive, I saw a lady laying on the side of the street with bags around her. And I drove down by there, and then when I came back, she was still laying there. And the next day, I went over to, I can't remember where it was. But anyway, she's still laying there. And, you know, I talked to some ladies about how can we get help for her? She needs a refuge for her soul, right? And so Wilma told us about, you know, the homeless shelter here and the different helps. And people went down there. The police went and visited her. And, you know, it was amazing. Today I went over to the Chicopin Trail to walk. It's a two-mile track walk for me. I get to pass out a lot of tracks and talk to people. But you know what? She still lay on the side of the road. And it's been 3 days that I've seen her there. And they did some research today and found out that she's got some handicaps. She's from Eden. And you know what? I think we could, it would be great if we could get a group to go down there and see what we could do to help her. I don't feel safe in doing it as a man. Okay? I need some ladies to go and to talk to her and see what the real problem is, why she's laying on the side of the road. Would you want any of your kids to do that? Or somebody that you know and you love? No, you'd want some help, wouldn't you? But you know what? We've got the perfect person that we can go to when we're struggling with problems, that this young girl would leave Eden from her family and come over here and lay on the side of the road. Listen to what he says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We've got a perfect high priest, don't we? And you know, back in the old days, the only person that could go into the holy place was the high priest, right? And he could only go in once a year. But just think it, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and the book of Hebrews illustrates it so beautifully, that He is our great high priest. And He's now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And so today, through the precious blood of Christ, we can come inside that veil and we can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. And, you know, it says we can come boldly there in verse 16. And that verse 16, boldly, it means you can tell it all. How many people do you know that you can tell it all to? There's not many people that you can do that, is it? You know, you might tell them a little bit of the story, but you don't want to tell them the whole story. But when we come into God's presence, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can tell them the whole story, can't we? And you know what? We find that He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And in how many times have we seen it? When we take our hands off of it and give it to Him and ask Him to deal with it, He takes care of the problem. But you know what? I think it's interesting. We have got a great high priest there. And he says here, He is our strength. Now, I know I'm thankful that many of the kids here, I think most of them here, are being homeschooled. And you don't have the problems I had when I was in elementary school in the 50s. And some of you are not old enough to remember in the 50s. But I can remember in the first grade, I had kids, little boys, that was trying to bully me. And you know what I told them? I said, do you know who my older brother is? My older brother is Tom. And you better not mess with me because look at him. Look at how big he and strong he is. And he'll take care of you if you mess with me. As long as Tom was at Sadler School, I didn't have any problems. Okay? But you get the point, right? We need somebody that we can go to, that we can trust, and that will help take care of us regardless of the circumstances. But, you know, God is our strength. You know, it's amazing. Many times when we think about our situation that we're going on, We have a tendency to blame God, don't we? If God existed, and you know, I can't tell you the number of people I've seen as we traveled across the U.S. that admitted that they were an atheist. And the reason they said they were an atheist, if God existed, He would not have allowed this to happen to me. And you know what? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27, and this passage here illustrates that situation. Listen to what it says here in the center column, point number two. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? The judgment that deserves to happen to these people who's against me, God, it's passed over God. He doesn't see it. He doesn't know about it. Is that true? Have you seen situations where God used a negative situation in your life and you thought, you know, He's not listening to my prayers. He's not answering my prayers. But you know what? I can tell you that I know the things that I went through as a young child and growing up. You know what? The Lord has given me a ministry out of that. It's amazing. Because, you know, many times when you start talking to people who's going through some struggle, you know, if they're willing to talk, you can get in a conversation with them and you can understand what they're going through because you went through similar circumstances that they did. But listen to what he says here, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, isn't it amazing about that? Our way's not hidden from the Lord. And, you know, it's interesting if you look at John the Baptist. He sent some of his disciples and asked the Messiah, if you're the Messiah, are you the one that's coming? And the Lord did all these miracles and told him to go back and tell him that, look, yes, I'm the Messiah, and look at all these miracles. But John's real question was, if you're the Messiah, why am I in jail? And it's amazing that passage ends with, blessed is the one who's not offended at him. In other words, because God doesn't give you the immediate answer that you want in your situation, don't be offended at him. Because he can take it and he can work it together for your good. And how many times have you seen that happen in your life? You know, when you're up like an eagle here, we just saw, they that wait on the Lord, they'll mount up like an eagle, right? And many of you have been to mountaintop, and from that top section up there, you can look down in, how many feet? I don't know how many it is, 1,000 feet? But it's amazing. You get a different perspective when you're up there looking down. And that's the way God is, isn't it? He's looking down. He knows, he can see it all. He knows everything. He even knows the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people that's doing whatever's bothering you. But, you know, we need to wait on the Lord. You know what? He uses a different time clock than we do. You know, we use a clock, and it's amazing we don't have one back there so I can tell if I'm going overtime or not. But it's amazing, isn't it? How many times has he waited, and as a result of your waiting, you learned patience? You learned so many blessings as a result of going through what you went through because you had to wait on him. But look at another one, point number three, David. And you remember David had one of the probably the worst situations that you can think of. His son Absalom wanted to kill him and to take over the kingdom. And he plotted, made a big plot against his father for 3 or 4 years. And it was amazing what happens. That's when David wrote this Psalm 55. Listen to what it says here in Psalm 55:4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. You know what? Oh, that I had wings like a dove. That'd be the solution to the problem, wouldn't it? If I could just fly up and get away from all of it, it'd be simple, wouldn't it? But you know what? In the coming day, we are going to take wings and fly away. But wouldn't it be great if the Lord would have that trumpet blowed and we'd be caught up in the air? We could really see things different up there than we do down here in what's going to go on through the tribulation, even though we've got many passages of Scripture that deals with it. But you know what? It's interesting. David starts this Psalm 55, and he's ready to throw in the towel and quit and give up. But he trusted the Lord. Verse 22, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God took care of David, and Absalom was not able to harm him. Isn't it amazing what happened? And y'all remember the story. Absalom had a bad hair day, didn't he? You remember he had long hair, cut it once a year and weigh it, and he thought he was so great. But what happened to his hair? It got caught in a tree, didn't it? And he got held up in that tree by his hair. Only the Lord can do something like that, right? But it's amazing. And you know what? Look at another passage here. And it's amazing all of the different texts of Scripture that goes through this. And you see illustration after illustration how God solved the problem. He doesn't solve it the way they wanted it solved, but he works it out, doesn't he? Look, here's another one in Nehemiah. And it says here in Nehemiah 8, and you remember they came back, and in Nehemiah they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And there was all kinds of problems going on. We don't have time to talk about them. But listen to what happened. And they started reading the Scriptures. It says in verse 8 there, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people weep when they hear the words of the Lord. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them who for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that true? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And how many times have you seen that? You know, how many times have you seen and have you been able to encourage one another with singing? That's what we're supposed to do with singing, isn't it? We're to challenge one another. We can say things to one another by singing a great hymn that we could never walk up to them and say it to them. Right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you. It's okay if I say a wretch like me, right? Because they understand, hey, I am too. But it's amazing here. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's amazing the things that we can do to put the joy of the Lord in our heart. And we don't have time to look at that. But I think it's interesting here. Hezekiah, he was challenged one time, the king there. And you know what? Israel during that time period was under the bondage of Assyria. And he refused to pay tribute to the king. And so the king of Assyria came up to them. And, of course, he gave them all the gold and the silver from the temple. But guess what? Did that satisfy him? No, he came back again, didn't he? And this time he was had all kinds of guys, and he challenged them about, you know, what can your God do? I'm going to destroy you. But listen to what it says here, and I'm going to skip on down to verse 7 here in this passage here, but you can read the rest of them. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And you remember what happened that night? What happened that night? 185,000 was killed that night. Right? And what did the Israelites do? They didn't do anything, did they? They had their hands off of it. God took care of the problem. And you know, I think about Elisha and his servant. You remember one time they were surrounded by an enemy. And the Lord asked the Lord, open his eyes, open my servant's eyes so that he can see there's more with us than there are against us. And he opened his eyes and he looked around. Wow, we're surrounded by an army that's on our side. What do we got to worry about? And then what did God do? He blinded the enemy, and then they took him and led him into a city, and then they fed him a feast. And these people who were coming up to fight him and to destroy him couldn't believe how gracious and kind they were being to him. And they went away, and there was no more war. Isn't it amazing how these things work out? The Lord is with us. That was the great thing. I want us to look at three passages of Scripture here real quick that tells us that God is for us. The Trinity is for us. Listen to what it says here in Romans 8:31. And I wish we had time to look at this whole passage of Scripture. It says, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at what the Son does for us. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? That's amazing, isn't it? That's our high priest, isn't it? But look at what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. It says in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded, 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's amazing, isn't it? The Trinity is for us, and they're willing to help us. What do we need to do? I surrender all. I present my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, which is my reasonable service. And if I do that, you'll take care of me. You'll help me go through this difficult situation. And you know, it's amazing. I've got a niece right now that we were down in Wilmington over the weekend, and we stayed over for Monday, an operation. It was a terrible operation. No, I'm sorry, it was on Wednesday, the operation was. And she was in so much pain before the operation. She said, you know, I can hardly wait to get this operation, because I know this doctor is going to take good care of me, and God is going to help me. When she woke up, okay, several hours later, she was in so much pain. She said, oh, I wish I had never had this surgery. I wish I could have never done this. But here we are you know, a week later. And guess what she's doing now? She's praising the Lord for this surgery that took away all of the pains that she was going through. Now, is that how it works? And you know what? I think many times it's the pain that helps us appreciate. I mean, it's like the people that was in her room in the hospital. It was full. And you know what? She's praising every one of them that came for the surgery and stayed in the hospital for the surgery and then was with her in the recovery. Isn't that how it is? We learn to appreciate the people that's with us when we're going through these struggles, but the greatest one with us is God, isn't it? I want us to just look at a few passages right now that deals with being still and letting God take care of the situation. Look at what in Exodus chapter 14, this is what Moses said to the people. In verse 14-13 it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Fear not, be still." Can you imagine? They were surrounded, mountain on this side, the sea on this side, and the enemy coming this way. But what did God do? Moses, all he had to do was raise that rod, right? And what happened to the sea? It parted, didn't it? And they walked through safely on dry ground. But then when Pharaoh and his soldiers came through, what happened? The waters collapsed on them. Be still. That's the challenge, isn't it? Be still and see what God can do with this situation that you're going through. But look at another one here. I skipped one. The first one, the next one here is Ruth. Point number two. You remember Ruth was a Moabite, and she came to Bethlehem. And do you know what? They weren't supposed to accept a Moabite until the 10th generation, but she came in and she was such a great testimony to everybody. Even Boaz wanted to know, who's that girl out there harvesting in the field? Who is that girl? You better treat her right. You better take good care of her. Right? And eventually, you know, she discovered that he was one of her relatives, and that he could buy the property and her, and he'd have to marry her. But there was one relative that was closer than Boaz was, right? And you remember what her mother-in-law told her to do that night? She said, what we read right here, "Sit still, my daughter. Boaz will take care of the whole situation. He will go to the gates where the elders sit and present the case, and he will end up redeeming you and you will belong to him." Okay? Sit still. Stand still. Sit still. But look at the next one here. Exodus. You know, we're to be still. We're to stand still, right? But who is it that will not be still? Look at what it says here in Exodus 31:6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." It's interesting that word fail, it means he will not be still. He will not be still, but you be still. Okay? And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail. Same word again, Rapha. He will not be still. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Who's in charge? You know, if we're looking for the flesh, or if our many times in the Psalms, if our strength is in our horses we're riding, we're going to fail, aren't we? And if our strength is in ourselves, we're going to fail. But you know what? If we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small, isn't it? And the only way we can make it through is to do what we see right here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. That's some good things to meditate on. And you know what? Let me encourage you to go and look up all of these passages that I've got here and read the whole context. Read the whole story. And you'll see how God took care of the situation. And then when we look back down the road later on, you know what? We start off on the mountain and we go down the valley, right? But then what happens when we get back up on top of the mountain on another next side? We can look back down in the valley, can't we? And what do we do when we're up there? We're praising the Lord, aren't we? Isn't that how it works? And you know what? Wouldn't it be great if it was just a straight shot like that on the way to heaven, all the way? But it's not like that, is it? Nope, it's like this. It's like that all the way up, isn't it? But who's for us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to fear, do we? I just want to read a great hymn that I keep here at this psalm, and it reminds me so much. I needed the quiet. I needed the quiet, so he drew me aside in the shadow where we could confide, away from the battle where all the day long I hurried and worried when active and strong. I needed the quiet, though at first I rebelled, but gently, so gently, my cross he upheld and whispered sweetly of spiritual things. Though weakened in body, my spirit took wings to heights never dreamed of when active and gay. He loves me so greatly, he drew me away. I needed the quiet, no prison my bed, but a beautiful valley of blessing instead, a place to grow richer in Jesus to hide. I needed the quiet, so he drew me aside. He does that, doesn't he? He does that. I wish I had time to tell you some stories. Thank you.